love people. Lord, your people who are redeemed and unashamed to say so, and glad to testify to all your goodness and to your great purposes, Lord, in this time. And Lord, in all the places that you put us. Lord, we express our dependence upon you today. Father, we lift up those who today are struggling. Lord, for Lynn as she's recovering. Lord, for Lionel as he's recovering. Father, for Wilma, for Lord, many in our midst, Lord, who just need a touch from you. Lord, for Tanya as Lord, she's recovering. And Lord, just do mighty things. We express our dependence upon you, each one of us now. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's great to be able to welcome you this morning. I've thought for some years that it'd be great to have a Guitar Sunday. That was thrust upon us with Lynn testing positive for COVID on Friday morning. So, yeah, she's dutifully doing the right thing. She's feeling okay, like a light flu, a bit congested, but she's doing okay. I think she might have shared it with Carrie. No, Carrie's fine. That's really good to see you, Carrie. I'm fine. But being careful. So, but it's good to be together, and it's good to be able to praise him. It's great to be able to welcome the Vine Hurstbridge team. And we were together last year and had a great time, and we've had a great time this year with this week. And they go from here to Bairnsdale, and they don't do it all again. They take some next steps together as a team and are part of ministering in the Bairnsdale Church, which they will be blessed by, both the Hurstbridge team and the Bairnsdale Church. So glad of that. We had a brother from Bairnsdale come down and be part of it, Gary, which was really beaut. We've done something called The Journey, and this is just a really transferable disciple-making reminder of what it means to live like Jesus and to use the same method that Jesus used in investing in disciples and being obedient to him in his command for us to go and make disciples. And it's been just really great to revisit this and to be challenged and encouraged and equipped afresh. So there's about 20 or more of the local church here joined in on that each evening from Tuesday through to Friday, and some had to sort of be online for part of that, but it was just terrific to be able to take advantage. We've had David Gascoigne, David and Dawn from the Bendigo Church coming and leading us through that, and David and Dawn were fellowshipping with us for some months when winding up his dad's estate at Nowanowa, and just been really great to have the fellowship together with the team and also with David and Dawn, and for us to do that together. I could go on about what that has amounted to, but I'm sure the team will share a little of it. But before I do, just some of the announcements. Next Sunday we'll be meeting together, a half-yearly church meeting, and that'll happen over lunch. And so that'll be just a really, really precious time of fellowship and just thinking through the steps that as a church we're called to take, and just to kind of be for all of us to be well informed. This week, however, our kids club will be starting, as I understand it. Is that correct, Carrie? Which is great. So that's something that we're wanting to start in a good way and grow into something of a terrific outreach. And you can be part of that in lots of different ways. And if you would like to find out, please see Carrie, because there's lots of different things. I could imagine there could be some of us that could be there just as kind of people that are there to chat to some of the parents that are dropping their kids off and just be a friendly face. Could be there to do the setup or the pack up or anything like that. Will be greatly appreciated. There to pray. So that's happening. There's also a boating camp happening in a couple of weeks down at the Rec Reserve, which is part of ESA's camping program, and Jared will be part of that, and I guess I'll be part of it in a sort of a way. That will be a good thing, and if just because you're local doesn't mean that you can't be part of that. So please see Jared or Linda about that as well. Other announcements, Jared, please.
So the network group or home group leaders got together last week and just encouraged one another and just pressing in to the beginning of a year where just the importance of gathering together and around God's word in a more intimate way in someone's home and just chewing over God's word together. It's such a blessing. I just wanted to do this quite swiftly, but if you're a network group leader, or I know some of them are team leading, so if someone representing from your group could just get up and say your name. This is for everybody so that you know where, or if you want to be connected to a group, if you're not connected, know that they're going on. And so your name, where, and when. If you're a part of a network group leader, could you just stand up where you are and just hoy that out, those... So then people can come and see you and they can, thank you, Nola. Go and see Nola. Gail. Go see Gail. Louise. There you go. Thank you. Matt.
We need to get the younger group up.
There you go. Go and see those guys if you're there. And Joel, would you like to do our Sunday one? Hey. Eastern Beach, Alliance Park, yep. Glenda up there, sorry, missed that. So it's not Glenda, it's Vivian. Thank you, Vivian. But much reward. Thanks, Viv. So Thursday morning, was it 10 o'clock? Yeah, there's two positions vacant there. Trevor. Go see Trevor. And that's it?
No, Michael, that's not it. Not Thursday, it. 2 o'clock at Keith and Glad's in the afternoon. There's a number of folk meet there too, and we're also going back over what's been preached on Sunday, digging in a little deeper. And so, yeah, folks are welcome to be part of it.
What time's that one start? 7:30. Okay, right.
We also have another group on Thursday meeting down at the RSL, and it's called Harbourside Life and Faith, and that meets at 9:15. And that's a group that's got some really great opportunities in outreaching and supporting people in the community. And in a sense, that probably would almost be called a micro church.
So that's our outreach. Is anyone we've missed? No? So you can see there's quite a few groups and meetings that go on through the week. Please be connected. Mm. Yeah, encourage you to. Thank you.
All right. Oliver, I wonder, would you come and introduce the team, please? And might just get them to stand up and, yeah.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is be here on my second occasion for a Sunday gathering at Lakes Entrance. As Michael was saying, we had a team come last year. And this came about because I've seen the need for people to be equipped in their faith and to grow in it. And it's a deep need that we have and is often unmet. And I've seen that in my own life and seen the transformation that's happened in my life as others have invested in me, thrown me in the deep end a bit, given me opportunities. And they know that I'd like to throw them in the deep end in love to equip them and to train them. And you know what these people have been saying to me, these brothers and sisters of yours who have come from where I hail in Hurstbridge, they've said, thank you. Thank you for stretching me. Thank you for challenging me. Does that resonate in your heart today? Today, do you want to be strengthened? Do you want to be stretched? Do you want to be challenged? I believe the Lord is present here today in this place to do that. I'm going to introduce them now. So, working from right to left, why don't you stand? This is Levi, who's serving on guitar. Thanks, Levi. You'll be hearing from them later in the service as well, each of them. And then we have Jondre. No need for applause, and then he applauds. If you forget Jondre's name, just say the word John and Andre together really fast. Jondre. Jondre. And then we have Luke. As Michael mentioned, Luke will be bringing us the word. Abby, here as well. And then outdoors, like Lynn with COVID, we have Lionel. This has been Lionel's residence for the week, so he's now had to move outdoors to make space for you. But the Lord has really been revealing to us as a team that we walk together, and that even though Lionel is out there, he's present with us in spirit. And he has something to contribute today to our purpose in being here. Jess, thank you, Michael. There's another who is not here, but was here throughout the week. She is now back home. She had a dear friend in, from her high school. She's just finished, and she's moving into university. But one of her dear friends, who's not a believer, has her 18th birthday, so she felt it was right for her to go home. And she was sad to leave. She said, I want to stay. So she wanted to be here today, to be with you, and to see, witness what the Lord is doing. But there is a purpose also in her not being able to be present today that I'm sure the Lord has. Just to frame our time today, I wanted to read to you from Ecclesiastes, I think it's the second verse of chapter 1. And the Lord has been working in our lives throughout the week, and you know people, don't you, who you live in life with. I was just amazed just hearing all the life groups, connect groups, we call them life groups in our church, that you have in the life of this church. It's an amazing thing. Not even your pastors remembered all the groups. I had to say, is there any more? And they kept popping up. That is amazing. And do not harbor any excuse in your heart, brothers and sisters, to prevent you from getting into a life group. You have abundant opportunity. And if the Holy Spirit is impressing it upon your heart today to go up to one of those people who stood up, or maybe they weren't present today, and to go, do not harbor any excuse in your heart. Simply come to what the Lord is wanting to do. Come forth. The point of that is that it's a privilege to journey closely with people. And when you're in a connect group like that, you get to know people deeply. And I've known these people. I've been with them in different situations and circumstances. And I've seen transformation in their lives throughout this week. It's been profound. I've seen their lives changing before my very eyes. And we had a journey that we went on yesterday that the Lord took us to, which was quite profound, seemingly probably something insignificant, but just had a massive impact. And it led me this morning. I woke early and I was led to this passage in Ecclesiastes, meditating on this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 2 simply says this: vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Your translation might say something like vapor, breath, mist, and it's referring to something that's elusive or hard to receive. And the word vain is important because when something's vain, vanity has two meanings. It can mean, you know, in how you're looking about yourself and thinking about your looks. But the other meaning of being vain is when there's a purpose in something that is emptied of that purpose and the purpose is not achieved. It can be as simple as you go out to hang your washing on the line to dry and it rains. In vain did you hang your washing on that line. There are many vain things that we can do in life. And there are many things that might make you laugh, hanging the washing on the line, it rains, that are vain. There are many holy things that you can do in vain. You can listen to the word of God preached in vain. You can sing praise to the Lord in vain. You can go to a connect group in vain. And one of the worst things that I'm discerning that can be happen in vain is that you can live a life in vain, brothers and sisters. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to press into the detail of your life and mine to unveil all of the vain things that we do in every area of our life, to reveal them and to transform your life and mine that it might be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And today, do not be here in vain. The Lord wants to do something today, and it'll be a privilege to witness not only the people from Hurstbridge, but others from Lakes and around who are going to serve and minister, and also afterward in fellowship. Pay attention. Do not be here in vain today.
Thank you, Oliver. Some of the team, I think Jondre and Abby, I think you're going to do something especially for the boys and girls, who we don't have lots of boys and girls today, but we have some special kids here, so would you come and just do something for our boys and girls? Boys and girls, would you like to come down the front so that you can see exactly what Abby and Jondre do?
Thank you for that. And we were... Oh, yes. We will pray first before doing this. And if you would all like to bow your heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord. We are grateful for for Your children, Lord. We look to treat them with utmost care and to raise them in Your name, Lord, for them to grow up and walk in Your ways. And we are grateful for all that You give to us that we take for granted, such as families, relationships, and children. And we give thanks to You, Lord, for this time that we can spend together right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we were told to do the interaction, we were told to do it for the children, and we also took it as a way to interact with the children of God, which is all of you guys. So we wanted to play a song, and we were thinking that this song has some words that are repeated, and we were thinking that you guys could come up with actions to do while we do the song. Yeah, so if we could put up the song, please. No, that's the name of the channel.
Na 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 do everything. Do everything. Do everything without grumbling.
Okay, so could we pause it there, please? Any thoughts, guys, for a do, for an everything? It's up to you guys. An action. Yeah. What was your action? Okay, so that's the first one. Yeah, so do everything. What was after that? Does anybody remember? Everything? Want an action for everything? Yeah, sure. Okay. Everything. Okay. So do everything. Yeah. Grumbling. Does anybody know what grumbling looks like? So will everyone do that? No. Look at that. Star performer. Does anybody have a less tame idea of grumbling? Yeah? Grumbling? That's a good one. That's a grumbling. How about arguing? So an arguing. Yeah. Okay. So from the top to everything. Yeah. Grumbling or arguing. Perfect. You guys want to give it a go with the music? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Stand if you like. Why not?
Boys and girls. Na, na, na. Na, 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 na.
So that's the next part. So you become blameless and pure. I think those will be the words we'll look at. So you, I like that. You become, that's a hard one. Become? Yeah, I like that. Become. How about blameless? Blameless? Yeah, we could do both, maybe blameless and pure with this one, because they do go hand in hand, I feel. Yeah, okay. Okay, so from the top, the do. You guys remember that? Do. Everything. Grumbling. Arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure. Very good, guys. Very good. All right. Want to try it from the top?
Let's do it. Also, I think the first thing is... Yeah. Na, na, na. Na, na, na.
In a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Oh, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. As you hold firmly to...
There we go, we got the star. So as we listened to that, did anyone have an idea of pairing an action to a word? I'll leave it up to you guys. Yeah, that's the thing. It was long.
Children of God without fault. That's the first part.
Children. Oh, yeah, children. I like that. Children of God. So we'll do children of God. Children of God. Yep.
Without fault. Well, we don't have to do all of it. Like, and then the next part is a warped and crooked generation.
Yeah, that's... Warped and crooked. Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, it was... As you hold firmly to the word of life. Like that? I'm seeing two of these. So So I think that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, three actually. Okay. Let's first before the music. Okay. From the top. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Then, children of God, in a warped and crooked generation, you will shine among us like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word. All right, from the top.
Na 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 na
do everything. Do everything. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become. You may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Oh, you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to
the word of life. Very good, guys. Very good job, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Andre, and thanks, Abby. And thank you, boys and girls, because that's really important that you remember that's God's word, and that can be just the biggest help. It is the biggest help in our lives when his word we take into our hearts. Something else I forgot to mention in the announcements, that we'll be fellowshipping over picnic lunch down at Eastern Beach afterwards, after we have a cup of tea here. So there's plenty of sausages, and I didn't bring any. So I'm counting on at least one sausage left for me. So, testimony. Levi shared part of his testimony the other day when we first met. So, Levi, if you'd like to come and just share that would be great. Thanks.
All right, now I have to pick which microphone I'm using and where I'm standing, so...
We got to raise it a little bit. I think that, is that okay? Yeah, should be fine. All right. So, hi, I'm Levi. You've probably seen me over there being ridiculous. That's my thing. I enjoy doing that. But there is a time for seriousness, so you'll get to see that side of me today, hopefully. I don't really have an exciting testimony, but there is one specific event that last time I shared it, I cried in front of a group of people for the first time. We'll see how that goes today, sharing in front of like 80 strangers. Ollie challenged me. I asked him to challenge me, and he said, sure thing. And then he came back to me, and this was the one thing that would have been difficult for me, because it's all well and good to stand in front of people and talk and to play music and use your giftings, but really stretching yourself and doing something you've never thought of before is what's going to make a difference. So I hope that all of you can take something special from this today, and I really hope that my experiences are going to impact you in a different way. Now, I'm going to share the story first, and then I'll follow it up with the morals, you know, parable style. Let's begin. You might not have seen this coming, but it's actually about a girl. During my final year of high school, like many, I met this girl, right? And I'm going to leave out a lot of details because I'm sure no one really cares, and you don't want to listen to my past love life for 10 minutes. But I was convicted with the feeling that God had put her in my life for a reason, right? I really convinced myself of that. So I was going to do everything I could to chase after her, right? There was a period of joy as we kind of reciprocated feelings, you know. We both decided we loved each other. And the first thing I did after graduating year 12 was plan our first date. We wrote lists of things that we loved about each other and encouraged each other to live well. It was really, the relationship was healthy. It was a good thing, right? My parents did advise me that this was a very formative time of my life. And my girlfriend also realized that. And I kept pushing for the relationship. I was fixated. It was unhealthy. it wasn't wise for me to keep pushing for something that didn't need to happen. So differences of opinion slowly became more frequent, and we were more often arguing about pointless nonsense after about a year had passed than we were actually loving each other like God commanded. I questioned whether this relationship was God's will after all, but nevertheless continued on with determination and courage because, in my words, she meant everything to me. Then, during first semester exam period last year at uni, I got an elaborate message late at night, 300 words that amounted to, "It's over." I can see that resonates with some of you, I'm not sure. But yeah, it was difficult. I won't go over all the factors because we'd be here all day. Not sure how many of you want that, but I'm sure some of us would like to leave at some time. But yeah, it was the following 2 weeks were the most miserable, difficult, and depressed weeks of my 19 years of life. Yeah, I'm old, aren't I? So I struggled with myself a lot, I had contradictions in my head, different emotions, anger versus guilt. There was wrong and right. Was it my fault? Was it her fault? Is it anyone's fault, you know, or was it just not supposed to happen? There was a mix of understanding, and there was also a lot of frustration, which are two things that shouldn't really go together when you think about it, because if you understand something, why would you be frustrated? I knew the reasons. I knew everything, I thought, but I was still frustrated that it had turned out that way. After everything I'd done, I felt like I deserved something in return. And still to this day, I've never seen her again. Like, we go to the same university and everything. We've just never crossed paths. Almost divine in that. It's crazy. But yeah, the hardest thing through all of this was knowing that I failed as a boyfriend. It was my role to show her the light and life of Christ. And something I did wrong caused that to fail. I completely failed, right? Nobody I talked to could remove the guilt, and nothing I could tell myself helped either, as much as I thought about it and ruminated over and over again late at night, you know? But that forced me to find other ways of coping, and I ended up... Yeah. I thank God because the heartbreak and emotion made me do something I should have been doing from the very beginning. I turned to Him. I recognized that God had lessons to teach me from this, and it made me realize something really important. Every experience is a learning experience we can use for the purposes of the will of God. Every single thing that any of us have ever felt or done or experienced can be used for the will of God, and we need to grow from it. No one's ever going to have enough time to break down every little thing that happens to them, right? You're not going to have 2 weeks to sit down every time that you have a meal and just think about, why'd I eat that meal? Why were the olives so good? You know? I don't know how many of you like olives, but it's a different sort of thing. I realized I needed to live in a style where everything that happened to me and everything that I did would grow me and shape me for Christ. And so I started living like that from that day forward. I recognize how I learn. If I have a preconceived notion about something or an understanding that is slightly incorrect, I need to destroy that, muddy the water, you know, completely shatter it, and then reconstruct it with firm truth, good sources. Then I will really understand it. I believe it's imperative to shatter your understanding and reconstruct it anew to create truth, right? And in that regard, if shattering understanding brings knowledge, God shattering my heart brought faith because it was reconstructed anew in Christ and I could step out now. I truly believe that I would not be here today if the Lord hadn't used my girlfriend to break my heart and expose it afresh to Him. That the purpose in all of that wasn't a relationship. The purpose was to expose the sin of idolatry. Realizations struck me left and right, and guilt, shame, and the Holy Spirit all converged and convicted me. How easy it was to commit my time and energy to a mere mortal in a way that I've never committed myself to God. I said it was my words that she was everything. That is wrong. That is a sin. I should not have put myself in a position where anything was more important than Christ, and I did that for a year straight. That's possibly the worst sin of my life, putting her before God. And it's only by the power of Christ that I can share this free of guilt and blameless in the eyes of God. He forgives all. So far we have lessons learned from experiences and idols that get in the way of that. The third thing I wanted to talk about was God's will. The breakup completely altered the direction of my life. As I pushed past the grief, I actually was left with huge ambition, incredible freedom, and determined focus. I had all of these things that I didn't have before. I got promoted at my job because I was now putting in more effort and time to it, right? I was displaying all these characters and qualities that God had given me that I'd been wasting on another person instead of pushing out into the environment and trying to explore what God's purpose for me was. And instead of taking my life and applying the idea of God's will to it, I was now building my life on top of God's will. God's will is the foundation. It needs to be there. I'm slowly learning to use the scripture to test things, to pray continually and look to God. And the key takeaway from that is that the Christian life is founded on aligning your will with the will of Christ's. I'll depart by proposing that these three principles of God's will, lessons from God, and destroying idols are all closely interlinked. I believe that God gives us every experience as a lesson in accordance to his will, every single one. By removing idols from our lives, we can walk in faith and discernment to see his will more closely and learn the lessons we need to, so we can continue removing idols from our lives. Draw closer to God, and he will draw closer to you. And so the cycle continues until only God remains. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to look towards God in every situation. Recognize that he has plans for you and intends for you to learn. Align yourself to his will, and he will reveal the idols in your life that prevent you from learning the lessons you need to. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Levi. Not easy to share, but thanks. I wish at age 19 I had learnt some of those lessons. But there is a Redeemer who takes the things that we don't offer well, and he takes and he redeems us. And we're going to stand and sing together because his name is worth proclaiming. And then Jeff is going to come and just update us on some of the wider mission. We've been living and thinking and talking about mission all this week, and how these guys and how we can be aligned to the will of God and the mission that he's called us to. But we're going to proclaim the one that the mission is all about. Let's stand.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, all for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see your face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place.
Let's sing it out.
Thank you, Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff.
There's updates on a few fronts. For those of you who relate to Hands at Work, I don't know if you get their newsletters directly, but they have put out their 40-day of prayer and fasting. I've only printed one. It's 17 pages long. I can give you a digital copy if you ask me later, but I'm going to put this up the top on the far wall near the missions board. If you want to peruse it, please leave it there for others, because there's one copy. Little side issue. I met with a couple on Friday. I meet with them often. They're a young Presbyterian couple. Bart's met with them. Bart and they are feeling alone. They're out ministering in East Gippsland. They're based in Bombala. Oh, my head and names. They're based in Bombala, and there's not much support for them there. They're a long way from their families. They've got their first child coming along before Easter. So perhaps you could keep them in prayer if you're praying people. Noah and Norelli is their name. So lift them before the Lord, will you? They don't have the privilege of a family like this behind them. I've received an update from Kim, Lean and Catherine. I've had some good communication back and forth with them since Christmas, and some of the other team members over there. So I just want to read through this. I've put a copy again on the notice board up there, and one at the back for Kim, Lean and Catherine. For those, they're in Siem Reap in Cambodia, for those who are not a regular part of our congregation. So I'll abbreviate it a little bit. Catherine and Kim Lean have celebrated their first wedding anniversary in November, so there's a milestone for them. They've married late, and marrying cross-culturally is not a simple thing, so pray for that. Please continue to walk with us and uphold us in this journey, she writes. As this new calendar year unfolds, can we have the pictures up? That might help. Deal with my drone. Kim Lean and I have been thinking on and praying through Jeremiah 29, 4-7. And she says, while this is a passage for people in exile, for Kim Lean and I, as we reflect on these words, we are being challenged by what it means for us to be continuing to plant our lives more deeply into the relationships of communities we are a part of, and to be continuing to intentionally work for the peace, well-being and welfare of these relationships. Now, you will have noticed, those who are regulars here, you will have noticed that in the reports over the last 5 or 6 months, I've been emphasising that Kim Lean and Catherine do not have a specific program like the others, like the disability playgroup, or like the aquaculture or the metalworking shop. They don't have that. They are just living day by day the drudgery that we live, and trying to be salt and light in their community. And that's probably the reason we don't get many reports, because they don't think there's much to report on. But I've pushed them to be more regular. For Kim Lean, he's now journeying with a core group of 6 to 7 Khmer men, meeting weekly to share rice, share sport and camping, and to share stories of life lessons. This year, Kim Lean is seeking to journey more deeply with this group, We're working together on developing some life lessons which will enable him to explore issues of identity, faith, spirituality, intergenerational legacies, and healing and reconciliation with the young men. That's still a big issue in Cambodia. Since Pol Pot, there is so much mistrust, even within families, because of the devastation that happened there. We'll talk about that another time. I'm continuing to work with the social work and community house teams at the NGO where I receive my visa. I'll be working with the managers of these teams to develop a series of life lessons for Khmer mentors and Khmer young women that will run over a two-year cycle and address areas including identity, core values, relationships, family reconciliation, there it is again, leadership and future directions. For Kim Lean and I together, we open our home each Saturday for those who are interested in joining together. Sorry, I just had a memory of a young Khmer friend who lost his whole family in that time. Sorry about that. Please pray for us as we walk with people and seek to deepen conversations, opening around who God is and what it means to live holistically in every aspect of our lives, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We are continuing to seek advice for the appropriate visa pathways for Kim Lean to travel to Australia. Please pray that we will receive clear information about this and we will be able to travel to Australia during this year. And there is more there. You can read it for yourselves on the back table or up there, and that's signed Kim Lean and Catherine. I want to lead us in prayer as a congregation, and I want it to be specifically prayer for us, not praying for everything else around and out and about. I'm not even going to pray for missions today. I want it to be a prayer for us, and it's for a very specific reason. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to read a prayer stolen from a book of Puritan prayers that I'm working through at the moment, and I think it's relevant. You know, I've preached the gospel on the streets. I've preached the gospel in shopping centres, in my workplace. Even once I preached in a footy stadium, which was pretty scary, especially for an introvert. But last weekend I had the most scary place to be approaching the opportunity to preach the gospel. And I travelled up for a birthday party. My friend Pete and I have been friends for over 60 years. He's 2 days older than me. And his dad turned 100. And Bob has known me for over 60 years. All right. For over 60 years. So they know me. They know me really well. And the thought of... And they're atheists. And I have tried to share the gospel numerous times, but Bob's 100. Miriam is very well down the road of dementia. She didn't even know who I was. That's Bob's wife. There's an urgency. And yet I was petrified. Of these people I say I love dearly, and I know the urgency, but it was scary as I'm driving up there. It only took me a little while to get up there, 9.5 hours of trembling, because I want them to love me and not think I'm a twit with what I say. I have so much disregard for the word of God that I'm ashamed of it in comparison to the fear of man. All right? So, yeah, it's easy in these other places, but not there. Anyone else feel like that? I'm preaching, I know. But that's why I want to pray this way. Okay, so will you say amen to yourself and join yourself with this prayer as I read it, and it will be a reading. And some of the language is old. If I think it needs fixing, I'll try and fix it. Blessed God, 10,000 snares are mine, without and within. Defend thou me. When sloth and indolence seize me, give me views of heaven. When sinners entice me, give me disrelish or distaste of their ways. When sensual pleasures tempt me, purify and refine me. When I desire worldly possessions, help me be rich towards thee. When the vanities of the world ensnare me, let me not plunge into new guilt and ruin. May I remember the dignity of my spiritual release. Never be too busy to attend to my soul. Never be so engrossed with time that I neglect the things of eternity. Thus may I not only live but grow towards thee. Form my mind to right notions of religion, that I may not judge of grace by wrong conceptions, nor measure my spiritual advances by the efforts of my own being, natural being. May I seek after an increase of divine love to thee, after unreserved resignation to thy will, after extensive benevolence to my fellow creatures, after patience and fortitude of soul. May I seek after a heavenly disposition and after a concern that I may please thee in public and in private. Draw on my soul the likeness of Christ, in every trace and feature of which thou wilt take delight, for I am thy workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Thy letter written with the Holy Spirit's pen, thy tilled soil, ready for the sowing and then harvest. Amen.